everyone, what are you doing out there? Thanks for tuning in to All The Show on Podcast. I'm your host, Mikey, coming to you live from that South Philly stew pond. Join myself and my co-host every episode where we take it to the limits and discuss those Johns of the Week, society, pop culture, and stick around as we spill the tea, throw major fucking shade, and break down life as we know it, straight from the mouth of me, Mikey, a gay Philadelphian. Last week on our episode, to give you a quick recap of season two opener of All This John, we are back. We are super excited. I brought on Sugar Shane as my co-host, and we discussed the hiatus of where Mikey has been, and we broke down the past year and a half in review, as well of those Johns of the week of the Janet Jackson documentary, Euphoria season two, Big Brother Celebrity Season 3, and RuPaul's Drag Race Season 14. On this week's episode of All This John, I'm bringing on not one, but two co-hosts. And both of these people are very special to me. So I want to introduce to you all my two amazing sisters, Amanda and Gina. Welcome to All This John Season 2. Hey, girls.
Hi.
I'm so excited to have you here today.
I'm so excited to be here.
So what's going on this week with everyone?
It's been a relaxing week.
How are the boys?
The boys are good. Just got report cards.
Great. So Mandy has two boys, Gianni and Cameron. Love them both. And Gina, how are the kids?
They're good. They actually just both got student of the month.
Yay! Super excited.
Yes. And Christian actually is able to be part of the honor society too.
That's so exciting to both of them.
That's
so
amazing.
I have three nephews and one niece. I am super excited to be a part of their lives. Gianni actually reminds me of my twin, and yeah, he's a true definition of a McKenna.
Yes. But
here we are.
Yes,
here we definitely. Are. So super excited to have you both here. I thought about this after season one aired, and then season two came into play. And I was talking to Shane, who I had on last week, my producer, and was like, I really need to make season two, like, really, like, get in and, like, get into people's lives. And that's what we're
personal,
doing.
So very personal.
Yes.
Very personal. Yes. So I'm super excited for you guys to be here. We have a super great episode for you guys. Obviously having my sisters here. So we have a lot to talk about. So I'm like super excited to like dig right in. So our main John of the week is obviously having my sisters here. I'm sure you guys can guess it's siblings. So we're going to break down all kinds of things from when we were kids to our teenage years to being adults. So let's dive right in, shall we? So growing up in Fairmount, like how was it? I know how it was for me, and I'll save myself for last, but I'll start with you, man. Like growing up in Fairmount, what?
Growing up in Fairmount was amazing. We had a great childhood. We never wanted to come in. We played all the time. You know, mommy pretty much had to drag us into time. So I loved growing up in Fairmount. Something I miss, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, I would say, like a very tight niche neighborhood. Absolutely. Like even I go back, there's like still people that I'm like, you're still live here.
Yes. It's very family, like everyone's very close.
Yeah, family driven. And I couldn't agree more. Like growing up as kids, like the three of us, it was like we just wanted to be out all the time.
Yes. And everyone knew each other, so we were all always in a group. Like
anytime you went anywhere, you knew someone.
Yes, always. Absolutely.
Yeah, always. Super excited. Yeah, and there's so many people that still live there, like on the same block. Like, there's no, you know what I mean? There's nothing. I mean, people do. I feel like you eat, breathe, and freaking shit in Fairmount, or you like physically grow up to a certain year, you build a family, and then you move to South Jersey. Like that's your typical.
Yes.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm in Roxborough right now, and I never thought that I would miss being in Fairmount, but I do.
Yeah. It's so convenient because it's like right there. You're right off the city. You're right off the parkway. I would say one thing that I hate about Fairmount is that fucking parking. Yeah, like you drive around for hours.
Definitely.
The parking was brutal.
Yeah. Yes. Gina, how was it growing up for you in Fairmount? Like, what are some things that you kind of like miss about Fairmount? Obviously, so for you who don't know, obviously Mandy lives in Roxborough. Gina lives in Roxborough. I live in South Philly. We all kind of grew up in Fairmount. So I'm sure if you talk to anyone from Fairmount or anyone from Fairmount listening can agree to everything that we're pretty much saying. So Gina, I know, you know, you're the youngest out of us, but like growing up in Fairmount for you, like how was it?
I really enjoyed it. I honestly miss like just having those little like corner stores to walk to, get little candies, bags of chips, stuff like that with your friends. Also like the fire plug being playing in the water and everything that. Like no one does it anymore.
No. It's so funny. And then when someone does turn on a fire plug, they're like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's like they've never heard of that before.
I'm like, listen, I'm a 3-0 for life. This is what we used to do.
We played spring on the corner.
Okay.
You were always outside.
Yeah. Well, I always liked it because like, you know, we grew up on like Judson and Brown, and things that I miss is like, we used to play kickball.
Yes. Wiffle ball.
In the middle of the street. Yes. And they used to get so mad at us because the ball would hit their cars, hit their windows. And they're like, can you go down the street? And then we would go down the street. And then it was such a great time. Then wiffle ball under the fire plug.
Yes.
Things that I used to love about Fairmount is just like Mr. Softy playing under the fire plug, whether it was on Johnson Street or Aunt D's block.
Yes.
Wiffle ball on like Bucknell and Parrish or Justin and Parrish. I think, man, you mentioned the convenience store.
Yes.
Gina.
Yes.
Loved Four Giottis. Yes. Shout out to the Four Giottis. Yes. I love that store.
My store was 26 and Brown.
Joe's in the corner. Was it Joe's, right? It was Joe's. Yes. You could get like the Swedish fish for a penny.
Yes. And you would walk down the little steps.
Yes.
It looked like
I remember that. Yes.
Some great things about Fairmount, I'll definitely say. But not really a lot has changed. I think it's just been like, there's newer restaurants, but in the same buildings. You know, growing up, our dad's parents, Pop Jumbo and Grandmom Evie, they had a bar on 24th and Brown. And I feel like we were always in and out of there too.
Yes.
Like there is
always
in and out.
Yes.
Like in the bar door, even though we weren't supposed to, but like our grandparents didn't give a shit.
Yes.
Like just don't hang in the bar at a certain night. But like we would run in there, go through the back, through the kitchen. Like,
yes.
It was crazy. Like,
or the side door.
Right.
Yeah, the side
whatever door. Worked. I feel like I never went through the front door though.
No.
But again, it was just like we always played. I think some of the greatest moments that I enjoyed was when we start getting older in our teenage years, we would play baseball on like 24th.
Yes.
And Brown, like right there.
Yes.
And we were like, all right, a bus is coming.
Yeah. Everyone move out of the way.
Right. It was crazy. Like these kids are literally playing in the middle of traffic, like on 24th and Brown. It was hilarious, but definitely good times. What about friends? Like, do you, Mandy, still talk to some of your friends that you had in
Fairmount? I actually do. I mean, I had a tight knit group of friends, but I still talk to Danielle and Nicole and Jackie. I haven't really talked to Laura, but we still keep in contact and they still love Fairmount too.
It's great. I, you know, growing up in Fairmount, like everyone knows everyone, of course, like everyone. I think what's so great about Fairmount, like you said, Gina, is like everyone's family knows everyone. So like you may be beefing this week, but then your parents are like, our kids are beefing. Like what the hell's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
But like our parents grew up with our friends' parents, so it just made it even a much tighter knit neighborhood. And still to this day, like everyone's like, oh, remember back from Fairmount, and like, you know, so it was really great to, you know, whatever. But again, I think friends for me, and you know, me and Mandy shared some friends. But shout out to Jimmy out there and Monique, they were my crew. You know, I was the kid that was like never really, as I got older, I feel like I never kind of like hung in Fairmount. I was like, I'm a city kid, I'm gonna go hang in the city. Like that was my thing. But yeah, for, you know, it was pretty great. Gina, what about you?
And that's like how it was like for me. Like I would hang out with kids down there, but then I would come up to Roxborough and have like my group of friends up there too. So
I feel like the three of us all kind of like, Mandy, you stayed in Fairmount with friends. I went to the city and Gina started vibing with kids in Roxborough. But it was great. I really enjoyed growing up in Fairmount. I think it's still a great neighborhood. It's just that fucking parking. I can't drive around for 30 minutes.
No.
But everyone's like, oh, well, you live in South Philly now. The parking's even worse. I'm like, yeah. if I went home after 6 o'clock in Fairmount today, like I would not find anything.
No, not
at all. So super cute neighborhood. If you're listening, Fairmount is in the art museum area behind the Rocky Steps for all you people out there listening who isn't familiar with Philly and the Eastern States. So that's kind of like the area below the Girard College walls, below Burrytown, great neighborhood. So growing up, I mean, we, you know, as far as who we are, like I'm the oldest, obviously. Mandy's only 4 years younger than I am. And then of course you have Gina, who's 4 years younger than Mandy. What is it?
I'm 34. Yeah.
I'll be 29.
So we're all like 3.5 or 4 years apart, which is pretty cool. I always think it's not weird, but like when you talk to some people, it's like, oh, my brother is in his 40s and I'm in my 20s. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I think it's pretty cool where it's like,
we're all closer. Yes.
Where we can vibe as far as like stair step kids, which is pretty great. So then we're all kind of like in the mix. But obviously, you know, me and for everyone listening, me and Mandy are close in age. And then obviously Gina came later in the bunch, but, you know, not too far off. Just I think a lot transpired between when me and Mandy were born and then when Gina came along. So, you know, we grew up with, you know, our parents not being married, man, but like we grew up with them being together. I don't know if you can, if you have a part where you can think as far back as I can. Can you go back pretty much?
I can't. I mean, I don't really remember mommy and daddy together.
Right.
So I can't really go as far back as you can.
Right. So someone asked me that the other day, and when I was in therapy, my therapist was like, how far can you go back to remember your childhood? And I can go back to like maybe like when I was 6 or 7. Like I have vivid memories of certain things, but not of everything. Like, for example, like I was joking with someone the other day and they're like, oh, so like where in Fairmount did you live? I was like, where in Fairmount did we not live?
Yes.
Every block, every street.
Yes.
So I can remember grandmom's house to the T. Like I can go back when grandmom, like way back to like when grandmom and pop had like wood paneling on the walls.
Yes.
Like I can go back that far.
Awnings.
Yes. I can go back as that far with their house. I think with as far as like other streets, like I remember the Ringle house. I remember the Brown and Bucknell house. I remember the Bucknell and like Parish between Parish and Poplar house. I don't remember 24th between Brown and Parish. I don't remember that apartment.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember Jersey. I don't remember. Actually, I have slight memories of the Parish and Pennock house, but that's it. Like, I don't remember any other house.
Yeah, I remember Graham's house. I remember the Brown and Bucknell house. I remember the Ringgold house.
Yeah.
I don't think I really remember anything other than that.
Well, because I think when me and you, when I was 6 and you were like 1, we lived, and we'll have to ask mommy, but I think we lived on 24th Street.
Yes.
We lived on Pennock, but I don't think you were born yet. And then we lived in Jersey, like when I was born, but that was only for a split second. And then we were the kind of kids that were like in an apartment, move back to grandma's, in an apartment, move back to grandma's. So like when I meet new friends or like, they're like, oh, you grew up in Fairmount. Like where? I'm like, well, why don't we take a drive up and down Parish and Brown? Yeah. And I can tell you exactly every apartment I lived in. So it's pretty funny, but we always came back to grandma's house and pop's house and it always felt like home. So when everyone's like, oh, where'd you grow up? I'm like, oh, I grew up on Johnson and Brown.
Yeah, that's where I grew up. That's what I say too, because that's like the main one that I remember.
Gina, do you remember? I mean, you were young. Do you remember the Ringgold house?
I do remember that because I remember having my one birthday party there and I got roller skates and then I fell right outside.
Oh my God, I remember that.
Remember? I think I
that's
do.
That's the one thing that I remember.
Can I just tell you about the Ringgold house? I hated the neighbors on Ringgold house. Remember the girl down the street across by the yard? She would always yell like when we were playing in the street.
Remember? Oh, yes, I do remember that.
They
remember
hated us. Yes. And I'm like, I think we were the only kids on the street. And if I can think, maybe there was like 1 and 2 year olds, but we were like in our preteen years or whatever. But yeah, I don't. I love that house. That was like my favorite.
That was my favorite because I remember wasn't there a door between the two bedrooms connected?
Yes. I mean, your typical Fairmount house, right? The connection of the doors. I think for me, just because I was like coming of my age and becoming like an older teenager, but I did really enjoy the house on Brown and Bucknell too.
Because I had the whole basement. And I remember the Papasan chair, the big chair that was.
I think Joanne gave us that.
That was at the bottom of the steps.
Shout out to Aunt Joanne for giving me that chair.
I was just talking about the other day. I was like, I need to get one of those chairs again. That was like the best chair.
Yes.
It was a great chair. No, I really enjoyed a lot of the houses and apartments that we lived on in Fairmount for sure. Sort of bring it in to play. Obviously, we grew up with a single mom who basically put us all through Catholic grade school, high school. I would say we were spoiled. We got whatever we wanted. So again, we grew up with single moms. You know, me and Mandy's father, I think they split when I was like 6 and you were like 4. Yes. Or no, sorry. When I was like 6 and maybe you were like 1. Yes, or I was 8 and you were 2.
Yes.
Something along the line. So they split, and we'll get into the fathers in a minute. And then I don't know how many years after, but Daddy remarried. And then that's when I think Gina came along. And then Daddy and his wife had our sister Dana.
Yes.
And then Gina was born. And then, but prior to Gina being born, Mommy found Gina's dad. And then we got to experience him for a while.
Yes.
And then Gina came along and we'll get into that.
Yes, yes.
But I guess to kind of reel it in and kind of bring it on a level, like asking you, Mandy, like, how did you feel about growing up not having a father around?
It's still a struggle. But I think that now I'm at the point where you can only do so much,
right,
you know, to reach out.
Right.
And the only thing that upsets me is just knowing that my kids have a grandfather that they don't know and they don't see. And that's very upsetting.
Right.
But it was rough growing up without a dad, and I would never wish that for my kids.
Right.
So it's very upsetting, but you come to a point where you kind of get over it.
Right.
And I'm at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think I've been for quite some time in regards to that. And I can go last on that since we share a dad, but Gina, how was it for you? Cause I know it probably, maybe me just reading into it, it maybe hurts a little bit more for you because we got to experience your dad as a kid and you really didn't. So how was it for you, like having him not really be as much present as he was prior?
Yeah, he wasn't at all because he left when I was 1 or 2 months old. So it was like, I think I'm so used to like not having a dad that it wasn't like a big deal. Like for you guys, you had your dad,
right,
and then you didn't have him.
Yeah.
Right.
Like for me, I never had him at all. So right. I was just like,
yeah,
it wasn't anything different to me.
Right.
Like obviously seeing my friends with dads and everything, I always was like,
yeah, right,
wondering what it was like.
Yeah. Right. It was like, yeah. No, I think to a certain point of like becoming older and becoming a little bit wiser, as we all have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is like, you know, you ask, like you see kids, what you were saying, Gina, mm-hmm, like you see kids with their fathers and you're like, damn, like, where's my dad? And like,
yeah,
or
yeah,
as a kid, you're like, damn, I wish I could have that. Or, you know, what would it be like to like, be able to like, really like, even though our parents were separated, like even have that relationship where it's like, all of our parents get along and we get to do things together.
Yeah, exactly.
We never had that, exactly, where you meet certain parents of friends that have that in their relationships,
yes,
with their parents still, like,
yes.
Yeah, our parents are separated, but we get together, all of us, mm-hmm, with their significant others, and now they have kids, and we all sit down and have a great family together.
Yeah.
I think to a certain point, I wanted that, and I don't know if you guys can agree, like, I wanted that to a certain point, and then I reel myself back in, like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said you come to a point where you're kind of just over it. You can only reach out for so long. You can only try to do so much, but if it's not reciprocated, it kind of just...
Right.
You kind of just get over it, you
right
know?
No, I agree. You know, and I, you know, we've shared stories where I think it's hard for, you know, when, you know, your parents have other kids, like for us, it's hard because our father had another kid.
Yes.
But when Gina came in the picture, it was like, Gina's living with us. So it was like different because we shared the same mom.
Yes.
And it was so great. But I remember, I don't know if you remember this. Oh, well, you probably wouldn't remember. Well, maybe mommy told you. I remember when mommy was pregnant, when we found out mommy was pregnant the first time. And she's like, oh my God, we're having a boy. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to have another brother.
I remember.
And then our mom miscarried. And I was like, damn. And then, I mean, I was young, so I didn't know, you know, how things worked or whatever. And then finally she's like, I'm having a baby. And like mommy starts showing. I was like, oh my God, I don't have a brother. She's like, yeah, no, we're having a girl. I was like, damn it. And then Gina came along, but I love Gina to death.
I do remember that mommy did tell me that,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. I was super excited because I'm gonna have a little brother. And yeah, never happened. Yeah. So we got you instead.
Exactly. And I'm perfect, so it's fine.
I felt the same way as far as my dad and like me being the oldest. Like, you know, I get asked all the time, well, like, well, how did your parents separate? I'm like, well, they argued. I mean, not for nothing, from what I heard from mommy, like daddy was a no good piece of, you know what?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the same thing for like Gina's dad, because we got to live it, you know what I mean? Like, yes. I was old enough to live it with Gina's dad before.
Me and Gina's dad were actually very close.
Yeah,
I don't really remember it,
right?
But I know mommy always telling me that.
You definitely were. I remember you definitely were. But I mean, there was a lot of sad feelings there, because like I remember going up to daddy's house like every other weekend and it becoming a thing with like Gina's dad.
Yes.
Our dad, daddy's wife, and like now us. It was like a whole thing. Like, it was a situation. It wasn't, there was times where it wasn't great, and then there's times where it was great.
Yeah.
I think to a certain point, like as us being kids, Mandy, and I don't think you remember this, but I remember vivid things of like, I don't know how far you can go back, but like I remember mommy and daddy like not getting along at all, and them not allowing us to see like our dad's side of the family. Do you remember things like that?
I don't remember her not letting us see his side of the family, but I do remember her stopping from us seeing him.
Yeah, yeah. I remember vividly. I remember, I think it was in the Bucknell house down by like Parrish and Poplar. Like, I remember grandmom being up there in the room with mommy and like them talking about it. And I remember coming up the steps and like, I don't know, I vividly remember mommy saying, get downstairs.
Yes.
So I don't know what they were talking about, but I remember hearing those kinds of things. And, you know, it wasn't all great when we were kids, but I think to a certain standard, I think mommy kind of woke up, because if we think like me and you were born when mommy was like 19.
Yes.
Like, I cannot think of like having a kid at that early age, but times were so different back then, and like it just became the norm. And then I found, like, to find out like our parents got to a certain point where it's like, we shouldn't fuck up our kids anymore.
I remember daddy was going to move to Florida. I remember that being a big thing.
That was late. And yes. I remember mommy saying, you can say whatever the hell you want. And I remember like going off, and I don't think, you know, and it was crazy, but we got to a certain time where there was like, we were cool. Mommy became cool with everyone. You know, the Ramunos got along with the Kamenas. McKenna's yes. got along with the Ramunos, and it kind of just bonded. And we were like, mommy was looked to Evie as like her daughter-in-law. And I, you know, yes. it got became great. I think Evie knew who her son was. And there was many times of them trying to fix it. It just wasn't happening.
Yes.
So yeah, it came into play there. You know what I mean? So yeah. Any other feelings about growing up with single moms and our fathers that we want to talk about?
I mean, I also liked it because then I became like part of your
side of the family.
Well, I think it wasn't, I mean, you were always part of the family. I think it was just like you had a different father where you obviously
can't control that. And you were petrified of our father.
Oh my God. Do you remember that?
See, everyone should have listened to me because I knew he was bad.
So for everyone out there listening, so Gina, and we'll probably get into that in our syndromes talk, but Gina was petrified of my father. And we don't know why to this day. But we'll get there with the syndromes. But yeah, it was really funny. But again, like Evie never thought of you as like, oh, she never didn't say, oh, this is my granddaughter. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was always like, that's my granddaughter. You know what I mean? Or, you know, that's family.
Yeah. Yes. And I was close in age with Dana. So then we would hang out sometimes.
Right. Exactly. So it became, it was one big family, but I feel like every family has a story.
Yes.
Every family has their problems, and that's just how it is.
That's yeah. life.
You know what I mean? So it is what it is. So obviously I'm the oldest, Mandy's the middle child, and Gina's the youngest. So let's talk about some of our like syndromes.
I definitely have middle child syndrome.
Gina, would you say, I personally think Gina got away with murder as a kid.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, I do. I do believe
that. What do you feel like are some of your like stats of who Gina Blake is?
Like, I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, I definitely got like the most attention, and I don't know, like I felt spoiled at times from like grandma and pop and everything like that.
I would definitely say we were all spoiled.
Oh definitely.
You know what
definitely.
I mean? Like we definitely, there was not a day that goes by that I didn't get what I want, or you didn't get what you want, or you didn't get what you want.
But
like,
Gina was the baby. So
Gina was the baby.
And I just had my ways of getting.
I think you should tell. I think you should tell people why you got your ways, because not to put Gina Blake out there, but Gina was the youngest. I would say this: we all got what we want, no matter what it was from what grandparent. We knew how to play the game. That's just what it was. But I think for you, it was like you were the youngest. You got what you want. You were a girl.
Yeah.
You cried your head off if you weren't. Even when you weren't getting your way, like you cried your head off.
Tantrums.
Tantrums.
Tantrums are my favorite thing.
Yeah. No. What about you, man? Like, what do you?
I definitely feel like I had middle child syndrome my whole life. I just, I don't know. I always felt trapped in the middle.
I feel like you were easy to manipulate anyone.
Yes. Definitely. Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
For me, I think it was like, I knew what family member to milk, you know what I mean? And for me, it was grandma and Evie. Like I knew I wasn't going to always get it from grandma and Papa Muno. And I knew that I wasn't always going to get it from mommy, but I knew it was like, well, if I go to grandma and Evie and Pop Jumbo's, all I have to do is ask and instantly I'll get it.
Well, definitely. You were grandma and Evie's favorite by far.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I would definitely say that.
And I feel like Pop Ramuna was like that with me. Like,
right.
You know, I always could get away with anything.
And
know?
I think you were grandma.
I was with grandma.
She was definitely
like I think we all had our thing because we knew we weren't getting it from mommy. And all we had to do was ask with mommy not around. And instantly it became that. For me, I mean, I am the oldest. So I feel like there was times where I didn't get away with it, but then there was times where I'm like, I'm the oldest. I can manipulate this whole situation. And I always say there was like so many times that I got used both in trouble.
Of course.
Like I remember this one time, man, clear as day. And I think we all got home from school and it was me and Gina, in the kitchen. And I think we were watching TV, doing homework or whatever. And I don't know, for some odd reason, you went downstairs to the basement and I don't know if mommy was like yelling at you to like do something. I don't remember that as far, Mandy, but I remember popping in the kitchen, grandma being upstairs. And it was just like an after school day. Like grandma was cooking, like there was back and forth in the house. And I feel like you and mommy got into it and she was like in the kitchen, but she was like yelling at you. But then she was like leaving to either go downstairs or come up and like go, but she was going upstairs to the second floor. And I remember you saying, and as you're saying it, Pop's walking to the kitchen.
Is this when she cursed?
And she said, she cursed. And she was like, and all you hear is fucking bitch. And I was like, oh, and Pop's like, what did she just say? I said, she said the F word and called mommy the B word. Pop went down them steps and you so quick. And I don't know if he must have laid into you because you were screaming. And then mommy came downstairs and was like, oh, she's young because Pop hit her. But I remember like there are so many times where I was like, I was the instigator. I'm not gonna lie. I was a big instigator as a kid. For sure. For sure, a big instigator as a kid. And I think I think it's great that, you know, to this day, like, I literally knew how to play the game as the oldest, and it came to a point, and I think you're both going to agree when I say this, but as an adult still to this day, I always have the last word, no matter what. Oh,
definitely.
100%.
There are so many times, like, growing up, and I think when I, there was times where I knew I wasn't old enough to be like, I'm leaving this house, bye. But I remember there was times, and I'm going to bring you there, it's like, me and mommy butted heads so much as a kid because I always had the last word, and she'd be like, you remind me of your father. And I'm like,
yes.
Okay, well, you married him or you were with them. It's not my problem. And she used to hate it. And I always had the last word. And I remember grandma being like, Michael, just shut up. And I'm like, no, she thinks it's this way. I don't agree. I don't have to agree with her. But that's who I was a kid. Yes. I think that was like my mentality. But yeah, as far as our grandparents on both sides, like, they're obviously not here with us today, but I like, feel like just we had a single mom growing up. Both of our dads were on opposite ends, you know, to a point like our father went away. Like you said, you mentioned him the Florida trip. He went off. Gina, your dad went to Florida. I find it funny that they both went to Florida.
What's in Florida?
Right.
Maybe they went and hung out with each other.
Maybe. We never know. But I think it's so funny that, you know, to an extent, we were going up our parents every other weekend. Gina, your father wasn't around. And then our mentality of going up became mute because we were growing up, we wanted to do kid things, and instead of our fathers just being like, no, you're coming to see me, it just became obsolete, and that was the storyline. But yeah, so kind of what I was getting at was, you know, our grandparents were kind of our second family, like our second adults or our second parents, like I just, you know, they're grandparents, but like, they were just there. And I think for the two of you.
Well, I definitely considered Pop my father. Right. I mean, he's pretty much the only father I know.
Yeah. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. That's what I think.
And I think for me being a guy and like Pop being a guy, not that there's a difference, but I think as I matured and got older, realizing that the relationship between me and my father are never going to happen. Like, I looked as Pop as a dad.
Yes.
So, you know what I mean? That's what it was. And I think, again, both grandparents knew who their kids were in and out, and that's just what it was for us.
Yeah.
And that's why we're the favorite grandkids.
Exactly.
Just want to put that out there. We're the favorite grandkids. But yeah, no, I definitely enjoyed growing up and having what we have. As far as, not to like get into it too much, but as far as now being older and us all having like our own families and, you know, being married and having kids or whatever our story is, what, now that you look back on our fathers, like, what are your thoughts, Gina?
I'm honestly just happy that my kids have a father figure in their life to be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have that, and I don't even know really what that's like other than having Pop
right
as my dad. Right. So I'm just happy that he's actually in the picture, involved in their life, and could be there for them, because I didn't have that.
Right. Right. As far as you, man, like, as far as like, obviously having Fran and Jeff with both the boys, like, what, you know, are you excited that they're a part of their kids' lives?
Yes. I mean, I couldn't ask for more. I mean, Cameron isn't technically Fran's, but he treats him as if he's his
right,
own.
Right.
So it's not any animosity. I mean,
right.
He looks at him as if he's his own, you know. Right. So that I'm very thankful for.
Right. That's really good. What about like you now with Daddy, your views on our father?
Like I said, kind of at this point just over, you
right,
know
right.
There's not much you can do when, you know, you just get ignored, and
right.
It's like
right.
You come to a point where you just had enough.
Right. No, I definitely agree. I think there was a certain time in my life where I was upset because, you know, basically like our stories, as far as all three of our stories, and we can kind of just go into that right now, is, you know, like me being the only boy and growing up and all these like empty promises. And, you know, like our parents were separated and that's fine. Like, I'm not mad at that. Like, that's what life is. Like, certain families are together, certain families are not. Like, and I look at like certain friends of mine today and like their parents are so tight. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You're like, damn, like you kind of in the back of your mind, you don't say it, but you're like, damn, I wish I had that.
Yeah. Yes. You always have that there, like thinking like, oh, what would my life be if it was like that?
Right. So, but to kind of like both take from what you guys said is, you know, like there was a certain time of my life where I was like, damn, like, why can't they just get it together? Like, cause I was the oldest, realizing that I was the man of the house growing up. And I think that was, it was times where it was like hard for me to like pick up the pieces. Cause I felt like I had to, being the only man in the house, you know, and the relationships that our parents went through and the relationships that our fathers grew into and how their life turned out. It became hard for me as the oldest, but I knew there to a certain standard, like I have to pick it up. Like that was my, like, that's who I was. And I think now up to a certain time, like right before, like when me and Kenan first got together, I was like, I started having dreams about our father. And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm willing to put the past behind us in regards of whatever happens, because I want to build that relationship. I think it would be great. To again, going back to what we were saying earlier in the episode was that, you know, just because we're all living different lives doesn't mean we can come together at least once or twice a month or whatever. Yeah, I think that would be great. Like, I wanted that. So that's why I kind of reached out right before I moved to Chicago. And I think for me, it was great. Like, it was great conversation. We got things off our chest. And I know, man, I told you about it. And then you fast forward, obviously, I'm going to be living in Chicago now. Our father's still in PA, and it just became obsolete. And then I was just kind of like, okay, I'm calling, but I feel like I'm not getting the same respect. But Michael, in your head, you knew that this was going to be who it was. You just got to, you know, take a stiff one, because you got to just put the past behind you. He is who you are. Life has gone by, and here we are.
I mean, our whole life, it's been, well, you never call me, you never right. call. And we were kids.
Right.
So it wasn't our responsibility right. to call.
I asked my therapist the other day in regards of like, cause we always talk about family. And I asked him, I was like, you know, we got on the topic of daddy. And I was like, you know, he would always say like, I'm the father. I should call him. And he's like, and my therapist, cause you know, that's what they get paid to do. And he goes, well, why didn't you? And I couldn't answer it, like, because I was like, I don't know how to answer that because I was a kid. But like, he wanted me to open up to see his side possibly.
Yes.
And I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what if I did call? And then I went through the coulda, woulda, shouldas with me. And like, yes. I broke down. Like, what if I did call? You know what I mean? Like, what if you called?
But what if you still called and nothing changed though?
Right. I mean, like, no, I get it, because I think it happened to both of us. You know what I mean? Both me and Manny's dad and your dad. Like, you call and it doesn't go anywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, or it's one phone call to make you feel like you're getting somewhere and then it's a failure again.
Right. No, I get it. So I totally understand. I totally understand. And then after that year, I think Gianni was born, and mommy told me that daddy said something along the lines of like, well, why would I be in Gianni's life if I'm not even in my daughter's? And I was like, that was it for me. And I don't think I ever told you that, but that was like it for me. That was my straw.
I recall seeing daddy when I was 8 months pregnant. We were on 27th and Brown, and Uncle Joey was there, and he just happened to drive by and get out. And I was huge, obviously. Right. I was 206 pounds when I delivered Gianni. And I just remember him just staring at me, not saying anything.
Yeah.
And I remember it being so awkward, like, mom, let's just get out of here.
Right.
And I think after that, it was kind of just,
would you say that's your final straw with him?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think for me, my final straw was a couple of years ago. I won't name names on the show, but we were at a particular family function, and he was there and basically called me a liar to my face. And I'm 38 now. I think it was like 34 at the time. And he called me a liar to my face in front of everyone. And I lost it. And I think that was like my straw, my final straw, because his wife got involved talking about respect. And I was just like,
how honestly, dare you even say anything? Like, look at yourself in the mirror.
Like, honestly, girl, like, but the thing was, like, she's like, you don't respect me. I'm like, I don't have to.
No, you're like, not my mother.
Right, exactly. And I think that was always a problem for her. You know what I mean? But then she had our sister and it was like, that was it. So it is what it is. I mean, there's not moments in time where I'm like, damn, like, I still, like, we all agree. Like, it's in the back of our heads, like, damn, I wish at times. You know what I mean? Or you have these, you know, run-ins with, like, friends and their dads. And
well,
like,
I mean, my dad did come back in my life, like, 10 years ago and then left again.
So. Well, I was gonna, actually, I was going to get to that. Like, what was your thoughts, like, when he came in? Like, what was running through your head? Was there a moment where you're like, damn, this is going really well? Or are you thinking in the back of your head, like, this can go really far south?
Like, I think because I was still, like, kind of young at the time. So when I hear, like, oh, I'm going to meet my dad, you get all excited. And you're like, oh, like, this could be something. Yeah. So I did get all excited and happy. And then once, like, he, like, stopped communicating with me and everything, I was just like, why did I even get excited in the first place?
Right. No, I think there was plenty of times on our side where it's like, wow, this is going really well. Or, like, there was times where daddy would come around Evie's when she lived on Bucknell after Pop died and the bar was gone.
Yeah.
That we're like, wow, we're vibing. You know what I mean? And I felt for a split second, like, wow, this is really great. How instantly things can change. Like, like you, Gina.
Yeah. Like me, like, literally, I was so happy he was coming around. He met Christian.
Yeah.
And everything. And then out of nowhere, it was like, didn't respond to me, didn't call me, like, nothing. So then I was just like, I'm done. Like, there's no point. Like, don't even try and call or text me or anything. And actually, a few years ago, he did text me again.
Oh, wow.
I didn't respond at all.
No. Yeah. No,
I don't blame you. I mean, now it's at a point where there's children involved, you know?
Right.
Exactly. And it's like, why even come into your grandchild's life, meet them one time, and then
leave why again? Or why should I even give you the privilege to meet them or even be in their lives when you weren't even in mine?
Right.
And that's how I feel now with daddy. Like, if he was to ever reach out, it's like, do I even want to involve my children? Because
do you want them to go through what you went through?
No,
him being around and then do them not. Leaving again.
So I have a question for both of you. Well, I've already answered this in my own self, but let's say as our parents get older, like, obviously we can't live forever. Mm-hmm. Like, God forbid if they were both on their deathbed and they wanted to be involved. Like, we're talking about involvement. Like, what would your thoughts be then?
Oh, that's hard.
That is a tough one. I don't know. I feel like daddy lives with a lot of things on his mind now, you know, like, with, I feel like he lives with guilt and stuff, but I don't know. That's a tough call.
Yeah. Right. For me, I feel like maybe I would go and see him or something, but I wouldn't bring my kids.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I barely knew you my whole life. So I don't want to just like let my kids meet you and everything. Yeah. And then.
No, I think it's kind of hard because it's like they're kids. You know what I mean? Exactly. And they're like, oh, this is your pop. And they're all so used to like Pop and Gram.
No, even my kids, Christian, he still remembers meeting my dad when he was younger, but like, that's it. Like, he's always like, I only remember meeting him that one time. That's it. And Belle is like, oh, where's your dad?
Right.
And everything.
Gianni, I mean, he doesn't even think I have a dad.
Right.
You know? Right. And the other day I was like, yes, Gianni, mommy has a dad. He's just not in my life.
Right.
And that's your grandfather.
Right.
And he's like, no. Yeah. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, know, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of, that's our story with our fathers and our syndromes towards it.
Yes.
So kind of getting into our own stories, as far as like, I know we kind of touched on this with our parents, but like, Gina, you got pregnant early, like a younger age. Like, so you both being moms, don't have any kids, but I want to adopt. I guess as far as having kids at younger ages, how was it for the both of you, especially you, Gina?
Yeah, I mean, I was 15 when I got pregnant. So that was like, you don't think at 15 you're going to have a kid and have all these responsibilities. But I mean, I feel like I was mature for my age anyway. But when you find out you're pregnant, like, you have no choice but to grow up, and you literally have to worry about someone else other than yourself.
Right. How was it for you to, like, once you, I remember you having Christian, and I was like, wow, my sister's really young, but like, how's this going to
change? I feel like because we had all, like, the whole entire family was so supportive,
right,
that it helped the situation so much better.
Because yeah, like I feel like certain families that either you know of or heard about or watching on TV, it's like, how dare you have,
yeah, like, they would like turn their back on you. So I feel like if I didn't have support or anything, it would be completely different. Yeah. 100%. But since I had that support, I felt so much better, even at being at 15, having a kid.
Yeah, 100%.
I felt like Christian was always with us. Right. You know, like, we were always
with. I don't remember, like, ever, you know, ever that. As far as, like, my story, like, I'm sure it didn't affect you, but, like, when you realize that, you know, your brother's gay, how did it, like, I have a funny story.
The last one to find out.
Well, I have a funny story for you, but, like, how did you, like, kind of...
I literally just remember you telling me, you were at Grandma Evie's living there.
Yeah.
And I was in the room, and I just remember you telling me, and then I was just like, I don't think, like, I knew what it was, but I wasn't just like, I didn't think it was a big deal. I'm just like, oh, okay, like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, the funny story about you is, and you're
probably... I think I remember your funny story.
So, when I was, like, I think I was, like, 17, like, I lived with Evie and Joey, and again, getting whatever the hell I wanted.
Yes.
Like, growing up, I was always told that Joey was never allowed to have boys over. Joey, who's our uncle, who's gay as well, he never had boys over, but I was allowed. And my first boyfriend at the time basically was at the house every single day because he already graduated high school, like, right when I met him, and, like, he was always there. So, like, it just became a thing of him, like, being there, and it turned into him living there. And Mandy would always be, like, flirting with him, and I'm like, this bitch is trying to mack on my man.
You better back up.
I remember him being very attractive.
Yes, I do. So I just thought it was funny, and then finally when I told you, you're like,
you never had a chance with him.
You had never had a chance. And she's like, put it together, and she's like, but I feel like you continue to flirt with him, even
though. Probably.
She's like, maybe I'll change it. Maybe I'll change it.
But I think Tom would entertain it all the time with you. Yeah. And I was like, you better leave her alone. So obviously it was no big deal because we had so many gay relatives on our dad's side, and it just became the norm. But,
yeah.
But it was easy for me. I never thought it would be tough because of the situation. I think the hardest thing was coming out. I think the hardest person to come out to was a toss-up between Evie and my mom. I don't know why.
Yeah, because mommy knew you were gay from the time you were
little.
Yeah, mommy wrote when we graduated Mercy, and I don't know if they did the same thing for you, but I remember the parents had to write a letter to the graduates. Did they do it for you too at your graduation?
I think so.
I remember mommy writing this letter, and I hope she still has it, but I was bawling my eyes out to a point where Lauren had to, like, come over and console me because I was bawling because mommy said in the letter, like, you know, you're my oldest, like, everything that I thought that I expected out of my mom, she was, and how I had to be the man in the house. Like, it was all in the letter. And then for the simple fact, like, she knew my whole life would change the moment I came out, and it did.
Yeah.
So it was different for me. So I think it's great, you know, that we all have three different separate stories of, like, everything. But for you, Mandy, like, you know, your story.
Yeah. It kind of ties in with the dad thing. I mean, it definitely took effect on my life growing up without a dad. I mean, obviously, I haven't had the best relationships with men. And I obviously struggled with drug addiction for pretty much my whole entire life. But when Graham and Pop died, I just knew, like, I fell into even deeper addiction because I thought it was making me feel better. I thought it was helping my life, but slowly and surely everything around me was caving.
Right.
You know, I was fighting with mommy all the time. Our relationships with you guys got put you know, strained, and it was a hard battle. Yeah. I honestly didn't think that I would ever be able to, you know, get clean. And when Graham and Pop died, that just really did it. Yeah. And I remember Graham saying to me, "The only thing I wish is for you and your siblings and your mom to have a relationship."
Well, look at us now.
I know. And I don't even want to cry.
It's
Graham's, like, one of the last things she said to me. Like, "I really just want you to have a relationship with your brother and sister." Yeah. Like,
I think it was there. I think it was just more like for me, again, going back to me being the oldest, I was like, damn, like, here we are again. Like, I need to pick up the pieces. And that's how I felt, like, with our relationship, where it's like, I know she's going through something and I know there's going to be pain there. And I knew there was times where it's like, you said you wanted to get clean and you weren't. And I'm like, damn it, why doesn't she just, like, wake up? And I think that was my thing for you. And I think that's where it was hard, because I couldn't pick up the pieces anymore because I was everywhere and everywhere.
And I think, you know, it was a struggle just, you know, dealing with, like, depression, and I was depressed, and, you know, it just, it was a bad, bad place for me. Yeah. But the number one thing, it was taking away from me being a mom.
Right.
And that was the number one thing.
Right.
Like, if something happens to me, like, my kids would be.
Well, and I think me and Gina talked about this all the time. There was times where we didn't think you were going to come back out of it. And it was like, me and Gina would get together and be like, listen, this is the road we're on as a family. Like, if she's not coming back from this, like, we need to talk kids relationships, because Gianni and Cameron would always have a life no matter what. Exactly. And I think that was, like, always the conversation that me and you would have in regards to that. But again, I think it was just, like, picking up the pieces and molding what we knew was going to happen. And I think me and Gina would talk a lot in regards of, like, let's hope this is the time, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I think that was the struggle. And I think that's sort of, like, where our relationship with me and Gina and you were kind of broken in a way. But I was like, I would always have high hopes. And I think Gina was like, no, like, it's not going to change. And I'm like, but it has to, like, we need to make a change. And I think that was, like, the struggle.
Yeah. Like, it's hard because, like, we're not in your situation.
Right.
So we're just on the outside. Like, why isn't she getting it together?
Right.
Yes. Like, we don't understand what is going on. Like, you have two kids, this, that, and the other thing. Right. Like, why?
Right. And I think we, as an adult mom, I think for the me, you, Gina, and mommy, like, our family is like, mommy always did the research. I always kind of gave mommy the tough love to be like, no, like, she needs to do this, or this is the outcome. And Gina's like, no, not, I'm not dealing with it. And for me, still being the oldest, I was like, no, I in my mind, because I'm always in my head, have to pick up the pieces. Like, that's my job.
Yeah.
And I feel like, but even as kids, prior to your addiction, like, that was my job.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? And I always wanted it to be, even though I knew there was plenty of times, like, as kids, like, when you would argue and be with mommy, and I'm like, prior to addiction, I'm like, here's me living in DC, driving 2.5 hours off to be like, what the fuck is going on?
Exactly. Yeah. You always came back and it was something crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
Always. But here we are. And I just want to say this, like, I'm really super proud of, like, you're making me cry. Super proud of, like, where your story's gone. I really am. I'm super excited.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was a rough road, but.
Yeah. So super excited about that. But yeah, that's sort of like our story. So I think it's time for the episode where we kind of put the main John behind. I think we've talked about who we are as a family and where we're going. I'm super excited to, like, grow old. I think one thing that I'm super excited about is, like, both of your kids are, like, growing so much, and I'm like,
it's insane. My son will be in high school next year.
Like, I don't,
it's disgusting,
like, it really is. And, like, Bella, like, even, like, I looked at Gianni today, he looks so much older than he is.
He did grow a lot.
So, and, you know, everyone's like, well, Michael, when are you gonna have kids? I'm like, it's on the timeline. By the way, I got all this adoption information.
That's good.
So me and Kenan's, we've put in a bunch of goals this year, and the adoption to bring in a kid for our future is going to be the end of this year going into next year. So I'm super excited.
Yes, that's so amazing.
Yeah, I'm super excited to have them mold together. I think it'll be great.
Yes.
So I'm super excited about our story and where we're going, and shout out to our family. I think we're the best. So now it's time to the show where we talk about our favorite topics and we call them the Johns of the Week. And I'm super excited to kind of dig in on talking about siblings and talking about our favorites and our likes and things like that. So I think our first topic we can all kind of agree on is like definitely a fan fave of ours in regards of growing up as kids and what we like. So let's just kind of dig in. Our first John of the Week is horror movies. I've always been a horror movie fan. I think we've all kind of been horror movie buffs.
I mean, thanks to you, I got into them. Yeah. Because I had no other choice but to watch them.
So to kind of like tell a brief, throw us back as kids, I was like super obsessed horror movie buff as a kid. And my sisters being like 8 and 3, like I was nuts. I remember a time where I trapped yous in the house. It was like right after school. I think Monique came over. I like locked the back door so you couldn't get out. And I like padlocked the front. So you were physically trapped in the house. And I like called and I acted like I was somebody, like Ghostface.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And I think that's when I escaped and hopped the fence in the backyard.
Well, lucky you.
Right. Gina got trapped with a knife to her neck.
Whoever would have thought that he wanted to be a serial killer.
So anyway, so let's dig into horror movies. Top favorite horror movie slasher of all time.
Mine is Halloween, of course.
Mandy. I love Halloween too.
I think we all can admit Michael Myers is like the badass.
Yes.
He's definitely our fan favorite. I mean, top Halloween fave.
Ooh. A tough one. I don't know if I okay, it's gonna be between the first one and maybe the fifth, because isn't that with the little girl, right?
Well, yeah, Jamie.
Yes,
Jamie. But she comes in on Halloween 4.
So between 4 and 5 and then 1, those are like my favorites.
Okay.
One's my all-time favorite.
Is one your all-time favorite?
I love one.
It's the original, right? We don't fuck with the originals.
Exactly.
I would definitely say Halloween 1 is my ultimate. Like, it's the original. Like, you can't go bad. Mm-hmm. Prior to the new storyline, timeline, out of the original, Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode, mm-hmm. Michael Myers as her brother, that storyline, I would definitely say Halloween 1 and a toss up between 4 and 5, because they're kind of like the same kind of night kind of timeline. Yeah. I would definitely say I really enjoyed him as a whole. Someone asked me this the other day, like, if you could put them in order of your favorite, what would they be? So I'll start. So I'm going to say the original, hands down.
Mm-hmm.
The new Halloween 2018.
Yes.
I would say second. Then I would say Halloween 2. Then I would say Kills. Then I would say 4, 5. Halloween 4, 5. H2O, 6. And then I'm going to say Halloween, the remake, Rob Zombie Part 1. I actually prefer Halloween 3 without Michael Myers over Halloween 2 of the remake of Rob Zombie.
I agree with that. I didn't like the Rob Zombie second remake.
Okay. What's your order, Gina?
Okay. Mine's definitely number 1, the original.
Okay.
Then I would say 4, 5.
Okay.
Then, then maybe Rob Zombie 1.
Okay.
Then the original number 2.
Okay.
Then the 2018, is it?
Yeah.
Yes, Halloween.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe H2O.
Okay.
Resurrection.
Okay.
And then the newest one.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't really like the newest one?
No, I like the new. Well, I like it, but I don't know. It's just never going to top the
original.
The original. Yeah. Right. No, it's hard. What about you, Amy?
See, I can't put them in order because I've never seen the 2 new ones. I never seen Halloween Kills or the new Halloween.
The new one. Well, you got some explaining to do.
No. If
Michael Myers is your fave, we need you to get on board.
I do. I got to catch up on it.
Okay. So yes, Halloween, we can all agree, is our favorite slasher. As far as the new timeline, are you liking the new timeline, Gina? knowing that Laurie Strode is not Michael Myers' brother. They're not related. Do you like that kind of idea of it?
I mean, I kind of miss the old storyline.
Right. But it would be hard. I think it would have to be in a totally new direction, yes, because if you went that storyline, like technically she, I don't think you could do that direction because she technically has three different kids.
Exactly.
Three different timelines.
Exactly.
But I will say out of all her kids, Jamie hands down is my fave.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So that's Halloween. As far as other slashers and their time, what do you think about Freddy, Jason, and Leatherface?
Well, I loved Freddy.
Okay.
Yeah. Just, you know, coming in your dreams.
I think
just,
that was the scary part of it. Yeah. That he came in your dreams.
Exactly. Because then after you're watching it, like, you don't even want to go to sleep. Right. Then he's going to come
you're
and get
scared.
You.
You're scared. Yeah. Right.
What do you think about Leatherface, Gina?
It's not my favorite,
right,
but I enjoy them. Like, I think they're pretty good.
I would say I would put Michael in his own box. Mm-hmm. I would put Freddy in his own box, but I would put Jason and Leatherface in the same box because their kills are so gruesome.
Yes.
But Michael hands down in this new timeline is brutal.
It is bad.
Very, very brutal. I mean, other slashers, other time. I mean, what do you think about Child's Play? I think the original first two were the best ones. After that, it just kind of sucked.
After that, I'm just like, whatever.
No, I didn't like The Bride of Chucky. And I
would say that was the last favorite for me.
Yeah.
What did you watch the new series?
I did.
What did you think of it?
I actually did. I mean, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah, I think they needed to put it into a new line era of like today's society.
Exactly.
I did like how they brought the original actor to play the voice back.
Like that.
And I also thought it was pretty great that they brought his facial features the same as 1 and 2. I really thought that was good. Did you see it, man?
I didn't see it.
It was a really good series. And I think it was on Netflix.
I'll have to watch it.
On demand.
Oh yeah, it's sci-fi, USA. Sci-fi. That's what it is.
I'll have to check it
out. So it's pretty great. So I think John Carpenter, Deborah Hall, Mustafa Akkad, I mean, the original creators of Halloween is totally freaking amazing, and shout out to them. But as far as new genres, like in the 90s, like hands down, Wes Craven was amazing with The Nightmare on Elm Street, but then let's talk about Scream. The Scream series is amazing.
Like, well, we just all went to go see.
Yeah, what did you think about the new one?
Think it is 1,000 times gorier.
Yeah, he was kind of
the
gruesome.
Kills are more intense.
Well, me and my friend Lewis, who you both know, we're talking about that, and I think they need it to rise to that because Halloween's in production.
Yes, and they saw how that went.
He needed to be gruesome. Yes. Like 100% gruesome. And like the day kills, like he was killing people during
the day. Like right in the daylight. Like there's no one around. Like,
what he did to Dewey.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
spoilers, honey. She's dropping spoilers in here. Anyway, but yes, it was really gruesome. But Gina, I think you were really young, but like when Scream originally came out in 96, it was like Wes Craven's like new slasher. It's Ghostface. Like, remember they weren't allowing kids to go to the movies unless you were physically with an adult.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like the whole like Tatum scene, it's kind of gruesome. Like the first, but I will say this, out of all the Screams, there's never going to be an original opener like Casey Becker with Drew Barrymore. Ever.
Oh,
never.
Like you're in the middle of the goddamn woods. Like you live there. No one's coming for you, boo. But there's a lot of times where she could have survived that.
Yes.
Like, bitch, if you would have just stayed where you were when you went out that door, you'd have been good.
Oh no, but they never do that. They never.
Right.
No.
They never do the right thing.
But it was great. And I don't like. I dig into this kind of shit. Like, remember in original Scream 1, they were like, when he called Neve Campbell Sydney and was like, "Oh, like, what's your favorite scary movie? Why don't you like them?" and whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Oh, you know, some big breasted girl who can't act, who's a blonde, who's always running out the front door. It's insulting." But the funniest thing is the rewind of that is like Casey Becker didn't run up the steps. She ran up the front door. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really funny that you know, whatever. But what do we think about the remakes that have happened or the reboots? I would say Halloween reboot and remake has been amazing. Scream, the reboot has been great.
Scream was great.
Friday the 13th, I think of its time and genre, if they would do it now, besides when it originally aired,
it would be a lot better.
But what did you think of the Friday the 13th, Gina?
I thought that they were pretty good. Like, I still enjoyed watching them, like the old ones.
Okay. I mean, again, the original, I would say the first five or six were great.
Yeah.
After that, it was kind of dumb.
No, exactly.
I really actually liked Friday versus Jason.
I was just going to say that
was one of my favorites.
It's really funny.
When they're on the dock at the end.
Yeah, it was pretty good. The reboot was kind of corny. I mean, it came out like over 11 years ago. I think if it would have came out now, it would be so much more gruesome. Again, don't fuck with the originals. I think the first five or six were great. After that, it got a little corny.
But everyone just loves the music.
Right. No, I think he's he's big, so he will fuck you up, literally. Talking about now, we're going into 2021, and Netflix is doing a reboot of Texas Chainsaw, and I think I sent you both the links.
Next Friday.
I don't think so.
I think they're actually going to do a really phenomenal job with this, because they got the original character in the very first one to come back as Harris. So it's very, again, talking about... Yes. Screen queens. You got Laurie Strode. You got Neve Campbell. You know what I mean? You have these powerhouse girls that are just amazing. As far as the ultimate screen queen, who's your favorite screen queen of all time and why? Man. Would you say it's Jamie Lee Curtis's Laurie Strode?
I loved her in that. Yeah, I would say that's probably my favorite.
Yeah, okay. There's no topping her.
She's the greatest.
Yeah, I mean she's absolutely stunning, and no one could hold, like, she is Scream, like she is the ultimate Scream queen, and I think it's because, you know, her mother is Janet Leigh. Do you know who Janet Leigh is?
No.
So Janet Leigh is who played in the original Psycho.
I did see that's her mom.
So. The thing about it is it's kind of like mother, like daughter.
Yes.
And the funniest thing is that, you know, you can't really, I mean, compare them to, it's like totally two different genres. It's like in black and white. And at the end of the day, it's like Janet Leigh is sort of like, you know, I mean, the ultimate Scream Queen, like her mom was.
Yes. Like you can't mess with the original.
No, you cannot mess with the original. And I think it's great. And, you know, the original girl in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the one in the original, Sally, she's coming back to do this. And it's like, even with Neve Campbell, like she decided like, because Scream 4 came out in 2011 and now we're here in 2021. And I don't know if you heard of this. Did I tell you this?
What?
That Spyglass is buying into Scream 6. Like, there's going to be a Scream 6.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait.
I'm kind of upset about it because I'm like, I think it ended perfectly. Scream.
Yes, but I feel like I still need to know things. If they're saying that, like, little things.
I think the question that we all had was, who was Billy Loomis's daughter's mom?
Yes.
Yes, that's, like, the main thing that I want to know.
So, and then they did a thing with Neve Campbell where it was like, oh, hey, would you come back? And she's like, yeah. But I don't know if she said, if I come back, kill me off. Mm-hmm. Or if you're going to kill Sydney Prescott off, don't call me back.
Yeah, I wouldn't want her to die. Yeah.
No, I would not want her to die either. So, yes, horror movies is our ultimate favorite. And I'm super excited about this trilogy in the new timeline as far as Halloween ends.
Yes.
Predictions on what's going to happen. Jamie Lee Curtis quoted in a lot of articles that that fans are not going to be happy. They're going to be excited about it, but they're going to be upset about the ending. I personally think that him and her are going to die in the house.
That's what I was thinking too, that both of them, it's going to have to come to an end somehow,
because like they're making a big deal out of him staring out this window.
Yes, it can't just be one of them that still lives. Like, obviously it has to be something big.
So yeah, both of them. Yeah.
And then people were saying that obviously Mustafa Cobb's like, you can kill him, but he'll always be alive. Exactly. So are they going to tell stories? A lot of people are like, oh, we would love to know what happens after Halloween 6 with the baby. Like, tell that story.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would be great, because then you would bring Jamie back into that and kind of thing. Or what happened to Josh Hartnett as her son in H2O? Like, bring that story back. What happened there? Yeah. You know what I mean? So super excited about those kinds of things that can adapt to that. So yes, horror movie buffs. Super excited about it.
Love horror movies.
Yes. So kind of going in from movies to TV shows, you know, obviously growing up, we had a lot of favorite TV shows. Next topic is childhood TV shows. So I'm super excited to like talk about those. So Mandy, your ultimate kid's favorite TV show as a kid?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Yes. Okay. For me, I think at a younger age, it was Power Rangers, ultimate freaking nerd for me. And then as I matured, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, and super obsessed. I remember watching that with you at nighttime.
Super obsessed. Like, she was my ultimate. Like, prior to me thinking I was straight. Like, she was, like, my icon. And then, not to get off topic, but when I met her in LA, I, like, died. Like,
yeah.
She turned around. She's right there. She's looking at me like, oh, hi. I'm like, how can I help you? Like, it was great. Loved it. Super loved it. What about you, Gina?
Saved by the Bell was definitely at the top, and then maybe like Sister.
Yes.
Oh my God, Gina, you totally were a Sister.
I love that.
Yeah, it was Family Matters, Step by Step.
Exactly.
It was right after each other.
And then all like the MTV shows, like Room Raiders, Parental Control,
Single Dad.
Next.
Oh my God.
Single Dad.
Hit My Ride.
Oh my God, you were that kid. I keep forgetting, yeah. Like you were like the early. Friends. Yes, Friends. You're like the early, like late 90s, early 2000s kid.
Yes.
And I don't believe I didn't say this. Mommy will probably yell at me, but like as a kid, like before you were born, Mandy, like Sesame Street was my.
Yeah, we know.
Follow That Bird. You know I have it on DVD. I still know those.
See, I loved the Jetsons. I was just talking to Gianni about the Jetsons. Like that was the greatest show.
So cartoons, I would say the Jetsons, yes. The Flintstones.
Yeah, the Flintstones, yes.
Remember Dick Dastardly's American Horrible Race or whatever?
No.
You don't remember that? Where it was like the race. We would watch it when we were kids, like right before school. Maybe you were too young, but it was like a race of all these racers, and Dick Dastardly would always come in last place no matter what.
Remember Lamb Chop?
Yes, Lamb Chop.
Well, I think for the both of you, it was like Lamb Chop and Barney.
Yeah.
Oh, Barney. Loved Barney.
For me, like me going back before you, it was like, again, Thundercats. I mean, I don't know if mommy knew I was gay back then, but I loved Jim. I love My Little Ponies, the Care Bears. I mean, if you didn't know I was gay back then, I don't know.
Babar.
Gina, Mandy, do you remember Babar?
Yes,
Babar. You had him as the elephant.
Yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was definitely a fan of mine. Captain Planet. There are so many great ones. Like, what other ones do we have? What was like the Nickelodeon shows? I think Genie.
Legend of the Hidden Temple.
That.
Yes.
What did you watch?
I remember that.
Under Gullah Gullah Island.
Yes, I love that show.
Gina was such a 2000s.
I loved Legend of the Hidden
Temple. Yes.
Man, I think yours was the one with the dinosaur. What was the one on Nickelodeon with the dinosaur?
With the dinosaur.
Rugrats?
No. Rugrats was a great.
Yeah, Rugrats was one.
I'm trying to remember. He was like green and
I can't remember.
I'm totally like,
I know later on we'll be like, oh, we remember it.
Totally remember it. But yeah, kid shows, but like kid shows nowadays, I hate that they like try to like kind of upgrade them a little bit.
Yes, and it's not the same.
No, it's not. No. Like
my 5-year-old is obsessed with Blippi, who is I can't stand him.
Like, yeah, like what they did with DuckTales, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie, they made them so like modernized now. And I'm like,
I know, and it's just not the
same. That's not what they look like.
Well, Gianni is obsessed.
Oh, he is obsessed. I love it.
And he will tell you that does not look like the original.
Yeah, no, 100%. So I definitely think like, it is definitely like kid shows then versus now. I'm just like, I can't even get into cartoons. Like I loved, Gina, I think you were too young, but TGIF shows, like Step by Step,
yes.
Family Matters. Yes. What else came on?
Seventh Heaven.
Boy Meets World. Yes. There were so many good shows. And it's
90210.
Yeah. So kind of like, rolling in with like childhood TV shows, like kids shows are not what they used to be like then from now.
Not at all.
It's like totally crazy. So, but I definitely think And you always like talk to like our parents in regards of like everything. And they're like, oh, kids aren't what it used to be. TV shows aren't what it used to be back then. Like,
no, what's... everything's so different.
Everything has changed.
Totally different.
Technology rules. My kids right. love.
Like, we didn't have iPads, no. smartphones.
No.
Kids today will never know what it's like to like literally know what it's like when we talk about kids, like TV shows, games that we had, like,
going on the computer for the internet. Yeah. I had to be like, all right, I'm gonna go on the computer, and then I had to plug it in. Yes.
Like dial up and everything. Yes. It was just, it's crazy how, you know, like kids just didn't have what we have, like Pogs, Skip It, Simon Says, like all those, you just don't get into it anymore. And it's like, damn, we just can't really like, kids today won't understand it. It's literally technology where you had to force us to go out. Like, we always went out. Like, kids nowadays, it just doesn't.
Now it's like you have to force them to go outside.
Yeah, I have to bribe my child. As soon as he comes home from school, it's pajamas and
yeah. No, it's totally different in regards of, like, everything that we thought of as kids. It's, like, totally different now. But you always heard your parents say, oh, all the stuff that you have, we didn't have back then. Like, we had this, and now we're saying it to our kids.
And my kids always make fun of me all the time. Every time I'm about to say something, I'm like, oh. Let me guess, that happened when you were a kid.
It's so funny. And I'm realizing it because I'm like, even listening to music, I'm like, I love like freestyle music. And of course, it's kind of like our mom's era, but like, there's no good music out anymore. And I'm saying it, and people are like, what? I'm like, how old are you? They're like, oh, I'm like 24. I'm like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't get it. So, toys, TV shows, movies, it's all the same in regards of like who we were as a kid to what we are now. So, totally different.
Yes.
But yeah, so I just want to say it's that time of the episode where we say goodbye. But before that, I'm so excited to be back, and I hope you are too, with season 2 of All This Sean. Amanda and Gina, it was such a pleasure having you here today as my sisters on All This Sean and to be a part of my podcast. I hope to have you both on again. It was super exciting. So I want to thank you each for being a part of it.
Thank you for having me. I would totally do it
again. Yes, it was an honor.
Yes, I think it was so funny because I'm like, I think this is going to be like one of my favorite episodes this season. super excited about it. So thank you both for doing that. If you want to continue to tune in every episode and join me, Mikey, and my co-hosts, then go get yourself logged in the Spotify and Apple, girl, and subscribe to our new YouTube channel, All This Sean, where today you can see all of season 1, and we uploaded the new season 2, episode 1. If you want to slide into my DMs and join me on the socials, you can follow me on Instagram at get_your_life. And life is spelled LYFE. Until next time, Philly, good night.